Blessed be God, the Father, of whom are all things, and to whom we live. Amen. Today we shall discuss stewardship. By our fallen nature, we are terrible stewards. We mismanage God's gifts and the people He gives to us. More often than not, we manipulate our possessions to gain further benefits for ourselves and to secure our own livelihoods in the future. As punishment for our dishonesty, we deserve to be stripped of this stewardship, our very own lives and eternal well-being. This would be true justice. But thanks be to God, who has given all stewardship and lordship in heaven and on earth to His Son, Jesus Christ, giving proof of this to all men by raising Him from the grave on the third day in the presence of many witnesses. Out of His benevolent goodness and mercy, the Son of God became a servant like us in every way, in order that He might receive the full and just punishment we deserve for our mismanagement and our dishonesty. For our sakes, He was stripped of everything and put to death. For our debts, He was crucified, as though He was the only dishonest manager and thieving steward who ever was. But because this suffering servant was without sin and truly blameless in His management, His sacrificial life was accepted by God as sufficient payment to clear all our debts. He not only wrote off some of our debts, He paid it off in full. And not ours only, but the debt of the whole world, all blotted out by the blood of God's own beloved Son. And now, as our resurrected Lord and appointed Master, Christ doesn't come to us to strangle out of us what we owe. But He speaks peace to us now, so that all who believe in Him might not die, but be forgiven of all their debts and receive the promised gift of everlasting life. As He Himself said, "The servant doesn't remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Whoever believes and is baptized in the name of Christ is no longer an indentured servant, but is adopted as a son, a co-heir with us in His inheritance, He Himself sealing us in this promise by giving us His Spirit as a guarantee. Thanks be to God, our Heavenly Father, who gives us such riches through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed as Master of His house and chief steward of all His creation. For truly, this steward has handed over everything he is and has to gain us as brothers for all eternity. Amen. Now, with this gospel in mind, we move on to our Lord's parable. In His parable, Jesus uses the opposing example of a wicked and dishonest manager, and He repurposes it for our good. After discovering he'll soon be out of a job, the dishonest manager uses everything he is and has to make friends for himself and secure his future livelihood. Now, we'd expect that when the master hears about this additional offense, that he'd not only take away the man's job, but have him thrown into debtor's prison till he has paid the last penny. But the master, surprisingly, commends the man for his shrewdness. He was impressed by how clever and witty the manager was in using what little he still had to gain friends for himself and secure his future with them. This kind of shrewdness happens all the time in our generation. In fact, it happened to me very vividly exactly 2 years ago. On a particular Wednesday morning, I had some work done on both of our family vehicles. Now, I'm quite ignorant of car stuff, and so I'm very vulnerable at the mechanics. I wear it on my face, and it fills my speech. And well, what do you know? The mechanics found quite a bit of work to do on both vehicles. And since I didn't know any better, I agreed to all the repairs and services. No questions asked. Needless to say, then, the final bill was expensive. Now, there was a very kind and pleasant employee who walked me through all of this. And perhaps she sensed that I was feeling a little bamboozled, you know? And perhaps this is why, in the end, she looked at me with the bill in her hand and she said, "I've taken off 10% of your bill for getting both your vehicles serviced by us." She was shrewd. She was clever, witty. Whether she was being faithful or dishonest, the Lord knows. Nevertheless, she used her own character and whatever authority and resources she had to take a little off my bill. And in the process, I became her friend. And she secured my future business with her and her employer. However, I am thankful that I moved. "Well done," says the master. Yes, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. But we sons, adopted into God's family, we sons know a better way, a way which our Lord freely gives to us to make us wise unto salvation. He says at the end of this parable, I'll say this, pastors are so confused by this parable all the time. I said, "Why? Jesus tells you what it means." So oftentimes we'll find parables that he doesn't give us the exact interpretation. But this one he does. He says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails," and in the New King James Version, "when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings." So what does it mean? Make friends for yourselves with money, possessions. Yes, let us use everything our master has given to us to make friends for ourselves now in this life, so that when our Lord calls us home and our earthly treasures are stripped away, these very same friends will be the ones who joyously receive us into the eternal dwellings. Our Lord Himself has laid out for us this pattern of good stewardship, which we are to follow and to imitate. Jesus teaches us exactly how to properly use the gifts He's given us, how to be cheerful givers, wise as serpents and innocent as doves, directing all our possessions to gain more friends for ourselves and for building up our brothers already in the faith. So then let us diligently commend ourselves to this noble task by first and foremost giving all that we have to God week in and week out. Now, I'm not talking about putting more in the offering plate, right? A typical stewardship sermon. Although for some of us, this may be a good reminder that helping fund God's service to us is a blessed and right thing to do. But what I'm really talking about is commending in heart, mind, and soul everything you are and everything that you have to God, so that all your possessions are continually sanctified and consecrated by the Word of God and prayer and repurposed for faithful stewardship with eternal goals in mind. Now, a major hindrance to commending all things to God week out, my friends, is skipping church and depriving yourself of Christ's stewardship, the very gifts of word and sacrament you need to be free of worldly cares, to be joyous givers, to live as God would have you, and to love and serve your neighbor towards eternal ends. Without the gathering together of God's saints week in and week out, there is no way to maintain a life of faithful stewardship. It is impossible for man. That's why when we come together, we first and foremost, we confess our spiritual debts. And God, on His part, absolves them. He frees us of them. He washes us and cleanses us not only of the stain of our debts, but the stain of other people's debts which they've had upon us. Christ cleanses you of all the gross feelings you've had when you've been taken advantage of, like I was at the car dealership. He cleanses you of when you've been mistreated or abused or when you've been robbed. All those feelings of shame and defilement and dishonor washed clean. Christ cleanses us of all of it every time we gather in His name. This is the pattern of our life together. For this reason, we don't come to church only when we personally feel like it. We come because our chief steward, Christ, calls us to this very pattern of life, not only as individuals, but as a whole household. Think about it this way. Christ not only brings us together for your good, but for my good, for their good, and for the good of everyone not here. We all need you to be in God's Word week in and week out and receive from Him this gift, this vocation of faithful stewardship. We need faithful Christians going to church, being forgiven, receiving Christ's stewardship, sanctifying themselves and all their possessions, and learning how to use their resources for the good of all. We don't need the example of folks finding excuses on why not to come to church. On the contrary, we need Christians canceling all other plans and saying, "No, I can't. We have church on that day. Not just I have church on that day, but we have church on that day. I need to be there for my brothers. I need to sing with my sisters. I need to help our little ones grow in the faith and walk this way for the sake of all people. I've got to be there because we've got to be there." My friends, the world needs you to go to church, to confess with your heart, soul, and mind that this matters. That Christ is here. That He's gathering all people as one to forgive, to wash, to feed, and equip us for faithful stewardship. Think of it this way. Who can be a faithful steward in God's house who is not first faithfully served? Who can feed the hungry with bread he has not first received? Who can dress the naked if they themselves are not clothed? Who can comfort the brokenhearted if they themselves are not comforted in Christ? Who can provide shelter for the homeless if this house is not their home? Who can forgive another his debts, or allow himself to be taken advantage of, or permit himself to be mistreated for righteousness' sake, if he himself is not first fully forgiven and filled with all the riches of heaven and the power of Christ, the power of that life which has no end? Beloved, only in Christ is our stewardship fulfilled and secure. And so, my friends, that is why it is written, "Do not neglect gathering together, as is the habit of some." Hebrews chapter 10. Cling to Jesus. Cling to His mercy, to His stewardship, and to His gifts. For only by these shall we be faithful stewards who truly make friends for ourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. Friends who, in the end, will indeed receive us into the eternal dwellings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.